All right, we'll call the meeting to order here. We might have a few people trickle in, but we'll get started as it is 5:00. We have minutes that were sent out to everyone by email. Do we have a motion to approve those minutes?
So moved.
All right.
Second.
All right, any discussion on that? All right, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? All right, motion carried. All right, we don't have anyone from the public here, so we'll just go on to item 4, right into Ann Stein and Deb Grunwald. Thank you both for coming today. Mm-hmm. You're here regarding the letter that we sent to you regarding the Somali interpreters. So if you have something prepared to talk to us, or were you waiting for us to ask you questions?
Well, to be perfectly honest, we haven't had very many, I can't recall getting a complaint in our department, nor do our supervisors, so I guess we're really interested in hearing what some of those, because they're not coming through our channels, and they must be coming out in some other places, and so I guess we're here to listen, and if there's some information we can provide about what we're doing, or that, we're certainly open to that. I don't know if you've looked at what, I don't know if the membership has seen what we sent, and we've got, you know, a lot of plans and resources and things, but it's, there's a lot of complicated public programs, and their administration is complicated. I think there's no doubt about that. Deb is our supervisor in our family area of our income maintenance program, and then I'm the health and human services director. So I oversee all of public health and the human services program, including income maintenance, but also like the social service, child support, all of those types of areas. So, I mean, I guess because we aren't getting that kind of feedback, we have a complaint process, and I have a file, and we investigate and try to resolve things. And so we're certainly interested in hearing what people are hearing and.
Well, you know what we talked about at our last meeting is that you have a medium, you know, for getting interpreters in and having access for the Somali people. But how is that getting communicated to them? I think our issue is that there might be a gap in you have the means for interpreting, but do they know that there is this option? Is that the consensus that everyone, what is the...
I would say that, you know, it might not be very clear to someone coming in with language issues that might not even be able to read Somali, let alone English, and therefore may not know how to navigate that system, and they may be coming out without the navigational skills I think we talked about at length, and it we were thinking, because I don't think anybody was casting blame, we were thinking if there's a common problem here that is something we're not addressing, like the inability to access the system, and therefore maybe an inability to even go through a complaint process, is there something we can do to sort of bridge that gap? Because that's what we were talking about, is perhaps there is something lacking in the communication of actually navigating the system, and then after that, perhaps, you know, articulating what has gone wrong. Because we've heard from several folks that they've gone out and wait and they don't get seen. Maybe they aren't scheduled. I don't know how it works. And maybe they're not articulating that to us either. But we've been hearing from people that they go out there and their time slot is very narrow, and maybe something goes over and they can't be seen. We heard a variety of complaints. And
can I explain how it works?
Yes, please.
In our area?
Yeah.
For the income maintenance?
Primarily it's an income maintenance.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you're hearing about other things,
social services,
but most times when people come out, I mean, a lot of times it's related to...
So maybe you're the supervisor? Sorry.
Yes.
Oh.
Yep.
Deb?
Yep. I'm Deb. Mm-hmm. Yep. I'm the supervisor for the family unit. So the way our lobby is set up is there's two receptionist areas, and then we have another area that we can slide a window over, and then that's like a third area. And when someone comes in and stands in line, then we see what their issue is, and if they need an interpreter, then we have them go to the sliding window. We either, if there's a in-person interpreter available, then we'll use that interpreter, or we'll use the phone interpreting service. So, and for the, like if someone is being seen for intake, we do allow enough time to get through the intake process with the interpreter. And, you know, some of the appointments can go over, but we usually try to keep everybody right on time so nobody's waiting around. Some people do prefer to see the in-person interpreter. And so if they have an appointment and that, we do give the intake appointments priority, so if that Somali interpreter is available, then they will help with that intake. But we usually don't have more than two intakes going on at the same time. But if it's just a regular question, if it's just, you know, I have a question about my health care, something like that, if the interpreter is available, intake is a priority. So if it's like, you might need to wait a little bit until we can get the interpreter available to answer the question or find out what the problem is.
So when you say there's only two intakes going on at a time, at one time, is that in any language or is that just with the interpreters?
No, that's in any language. Okay. Yeah, and they're scheduled. Right. Those intakes are scheduled.
First of all, I think we're not casting blame or anything like that. I mean,
sure.
We're just, but I'm surprised that you haven't heard anything, because what we heard, it sounded like it was a very common problem, and people were waiting for a long time, and there's like 2 days or 3 days that they can go out there.
I can speak to that also. We do have a small interpreter 3 half-days a week.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So it's like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Maybe Tuesday, Thursday, afternoons,
and
Wednesday
morning. Wednesdays is the
morning. Wednesday
morning.
Yeah. So that's when we have an in-person, but at any time, if someone comes and asks a question and they need an interpreter, we have the phone interpreting service, and it's been very good for us.
Okay.
And that's available immediate, and that's why we didn't used to have the in-person, and we started doing that. We know people prefer but we also still have times when we have the in-person interpreter there, and they don't have anybody to interpret for, so it's hard to justify having an interpreter there for hours and without people to see either. So we are still seeing some. So we do have some posters in the lobby that are in both, that are in Somali and English, and we can certainly explain to people, but stating that there's those interpreters and the in-person is available, but we will serve you anytime. I mean, there isn't a limit. That was one of the things that we were concerned about. We didn't want people to perceive that they could only come at those times that we had it in person, and we've actually done counts and tried to look at when is the volume there and all of that, so that we could try to have in-person interpreters available at the times that we had heaviest volume and at the times that we've got the most staff and we might be scheduling the most intakes and some of those types of things. So that's kind of the reason why that developed, but we've had the phone service available always. There's also iSpeak cards, so that if someone comes up, because we could have someone come in that speaks, what was the latest?
Chuckies or Karen?
Karen. Chuckies, I think it was. We've had a number of Karen, but I mean, it might not be something we've experienced at all before, and so there are, we do have some cards that the state has put together that help people to be able to identify. And then I do even think that the language services, if we're having trouble figuring out what that is, they can get on the phone and they can help identify and figure out and get us to the right language. So that's the other nice thing about the language service, is that if anybody comes in with a different language, we can get to somebody. They're federal contracts, actually, that those services are provided through. And so they're national and lots of availability.
With the phone system, is that able to help one? Do we have one line dedicated towards that service?
No. We could have 20 different staff using the service at any given time, so it's not limited.
Okay, Deb, thanks for coming here today.
Sure.
to our meeting. Actually, we appreciate all of us because of that means you listen what we say, and we say thank you. And second, I'm one of the community organizer, that particular community. Mm-hmm. I knock so many doors, and I know them. I went there, I talked to them. And I also ask, what's the problem? What do you want? Mm-hmm. Politically, I ask them, what do you want? What specific things that you need to get help? The first issue, the first item that we talk about is that issue. Interpreter, whenever, you know, most of the people that you serve, especially the community, Somali community, 95% of the people who comes to you there, they don't know the language. Mm-hmm. They don't know how to read. They don't know how to write. Mm-hmm. Whenever one mom, and most of them, they work in Genio. You know Genio. They work in Genio 5 days. Mm-hmm. The time that they have got is very small. Mm-hmm. And when you have got a single mom or a mom who have got a family and children and working in Genio, when the family service sent you a letter like this and said to you, hey, bring that things or fill these things, and you're going to Genio, it's very, and you don't know the language, and you don't even read to write. And sometimes you need to, you cannot go, sometimes you cannot go and stand there and say, hey, come and read for me. You can, that's a private issue, especially financially and all that things. Mm-hmm. So,
can I speak to that for a minute?
Yeah, I will let
okay.
you.
Okay, go ahead.
I'll Sorry. Give it to you.
Okay.
Okay. So, like that mom, she needs someone who help. Someone who there for her. And most of the time, they don't get someone there because of the time that you provide is limited. I take a picture from the note that you put on there on your place. I have been investigating these things for almost a couple of months. I have got some videos. I have got some signatures. I go to the community. I go deep down all these things. I can bring hundreds of them here in this room. We can do that. We have got signatures. We talk. We discuss about these things. These things have been going for a long time. I know even if these things goes on, nobody will die for that, and there's no emergency things, but this problem is existing. Mm-hmm. Those moms, they need someone who's there. They need someone who's there 8 hours a day, like the Spanish speakers. Here in Wilmer, we have got 3 communities, English speakers, Somali speakers, and Spanish speakers. 2 communities, they got their own service. But those who don't have their service are the Somali speakers, and we know it. And 95% approximately, even though I don't have a research, but 95% of them, they don't speak English. They need to get service like other people. That's what they need. There's no things that we are going to blame you or just throwing something on top of you. We're not doing that. We are just expressing the issue. Mm-hmm. And these things came from the community, not us. These things not come from us, came from the community. We go and knock the doors and see it and ask them, and what's your problem? And they complain that exists, that problem is existing. So if you need a proof, I can bring you a signature, I can call the community, I can take you, we can make a meeting, and you can speak to them directly, face by face, and you can say, what's your problem? And I'm sure if you even don't understand what the community needs, I don't know how can you be a leader. How can you be represent? How can you be? I don't know. But that's the issue. That problem existed. They don't know the language. They need someone who's there, 8 hours a day, not just 2 hours or 3 hours, Tuesday and Thursday on something like that. That's what they need. I don't know how you be that, but that's what they need.
I agree with you, because I think what you're saying is that our staff should resemble the community, and it doesn't. I think we clearly know that. I have been working to try to recruit Somali individuals to work in our department, and we have been unsuccessful in doing that. And so that is a huge challenge for us, and I would love to have some Somali members of our staff. One of the challenges for us is that we have to hire staff through a merit system, and we're required to do so because of federal dollars. And so it used years ago, it used to be called the civil service system. It's called the merit system now. We have to hire, we're required by law to do that, to hire through that system. So I have been unsuccessful in my recruitment efforts. We have tried. In fact, we offered one of our last vacancies, and Deb hasn't been with us very long, but one of our last vacancies, we had a great candidate who we could not recruit in, and he had lots of wonderful options, and he chose another one. But so we have been trying, because I don't think interpreting is, I mean, it's a gap answer. It's something that helps us get through and takes care of that. The better answer would be as if our staff looked like the community. Is that what you're saying? I think that's what you're saying. We do have some staff that speak Spanish. We don't have any staff members right now that speak Somali, so we're depending upon interpreting services, and it's a bumpy road. I mean, it's not the best. The best way would be to have staff. Is that what you're, or maybe I'm not hearing.
Okay.
Well, and I'm sure not just on the family services side, but also on the public health side.
Okay.
You would love to have staff, because you are right. Family services would love to have staff there 8 hours a day that were staff members that not only interpreted but completely understood the system too. But she's saying they've been unsuccessful in trying to recruit members.
Can you be clear precisely why? What is the reason as to why? I don't get that. Why you don't,
why we haven't hired? Well, when we have an opening, I'll talk eligibility because I think that's the most critical piece that we're talking about right here, an eligibility worker opening. What we have to do is we have to get a list of pre-qualified candidates through the merit system. Now what that means is that they have to go in and take an exam and pass this exam to be able to be on the list. I have talked to many, whenever I have met a Somali person that I have felt like could be a potential to be a worker, I'm quite known for taking them back to my office and pulling up the Minnesota Merit website and showing them this is where you need to go, you need to get in here, the testing is the first Saturday of the month, please go in and do this, you know, even if you can start with some other positions. I've had a couple of people not get through the testing, which is a barrier, so if they can't pass the test, I can't even consider them. So we have to get through the test and to be able to get them on the merit list in order for me to even be able to get them as a potential candidate. This last time we had a candidate, they were not from Wilmer. It was someone from St. Cloud who we offered the position to, and we were unsuccessful in recruiting. But we've had very few that were able to get through the testing process and get on the list. We advertise, but again, I mean, it's one of my organizational goals for this year to how can we do better with that and how can we get more people to go and test to get on the list, because that's the only way we can legally get through this.
Is there availability for preparing for this merit test?
That's a good question.
I don't really think so. You can take it more than one time. Yeah, you can take it
60 days, I think.
60 days between.
Yeah.
The merit exam is, you can read about it on the Department of Human Services DHS.
So you mean that you realized already that there is a problem existing there?
I would say I think we're trying to do our level best, but what would be really helpful is, each situation is just a little bit different. So if someone's having trouble, we need to somehow figure out how can we get them to get the attention of a supervisor or get my attention so that I can look into it and we can figure out what's going on in that particular case. I just did that a couple days ago for somebody who somehow was getting stuck in a system. Within just a couple of hours, we were able to get something figured out and get something better. But if so, I mean, I think we're doing the best we can without having staff on hand with trying to have some interpreters. I think there's always room for improvement. There are some days that our lobby is really full. There are other days where it's totally empty. For hours at a time, it's very difficult to predict. We've done logging where you check, you know, like how many people are in the lobby per hour, per day of the week, and we've checked that all month long, trying to see what kinds of patterns there are with some of that. It doesn't always bear out. And so if we have 15 people that show up at about the same time in the lobby, and we have two people, and they don't have appointments, they're dropping, I mean, they're coming to talk to someone, then it will take a little while. There is sometimes a line, just like at the DMV or someplace. I mean, I hate to say it, but I mean, so that's challenging. And then when we need an interpreter, it takes a little bit longer to get through that. So,
Okay. Excuse me if I don't get it. The question which I'm going to ask you is that, did you acknowledge before us there is a problem there and you need someone who help? Did you realize before us? Yes or no, that question. Did you realize you need someone who help those community? And did you acknowledge that before us there is a problem and need to be fixed before us, before we send the letter?
We haven't had complaints. I mean, to be really honest, totally. I went through my complaint file, and I mean, would I have recognized that it was a very significant problem in the community? I would have to say no. I don't think we have been aware. We've actually felt, and I would say in our public health side, we've felt like we've had, and maybe that's a misperception, I don't know. We felt like we've had a really good working relationship with the Somali community, but
When was the last time that you offered that position and someone failed? And how many times have you attempted last 5 to 7 years?
If they don't come on the list, yeah. I can't even interview them. I can't even consider them for the positions. So that's a big barrier in and of itself, the fact that we're required to work through that system. Mm-hmm. And that someone has to pass, I mean, the test is in English. There's math skills and some other kinds of, there's a number of skills that you have to have in order to be able to be an eligibility worker. So, in the last year or two, I've probably talked to myself personally, and I think the rest of our management and probably employees do some of the same kind of thing. I'm sure I've talked to 8 or 10 people and walked them through what I was hoping that they could maybe do and get through that process.
When was the last year? 2016 or 2015? The time that you attempt and hired someone and he failed.
When we interviewed.
When was that?
Early this year, we interviewed a Somali person.
Who is that? You don't.
No. That was somebody from St. Cloud.
He was from St. Cloud, and he had taken the eligibility worker class through Pine Tech. They offer a financial worker class, and so he was getting graduated, and we really would like to have hired him, but he declined our offer.
Okay. Recognizing, sort of getting the under feeling here that maybe the problem is maybe bigger, if there were some more folks that were eligible or were on your merit system had passed that qualifying, would there be opportunities to hire staff, or are you full?
We're not full right now. We do have some openings, but mm-hmm.
I would say in the course of a year, we may fill, we might have, we, I mean, it would really vary, but we might have two or three vacancies a year.
Okay. So I think it would be
certainly opportunity. There's always. I mean, it might be a few months in between openings.
Because I mean, I can see that, we're trying to bridge the problem. I'm thinking that the responsibility, perhaps, we probably have a responsibility as a community that if we want these things, and incorporate and have our places look like the community, we have to have people that are qualified to do that. I think that the onus does go then on. Well, if we're going to raise our own, let's do it. The one concern I've got is on the other end, is it possible, and I've seen this at other places, that if I'm getting reports that people can't read Somali, and if your signs are up, are there any kind of picture signs that can be done to sort of, I don't know what they look like, but, you know, that show the time slots available, and if you have, if you need to use the interpreting phone service, that they can use that. Is there any kind of an option where it would be not words necessarily to explain that? I don't know if that's an option.
Yeah, I'm trying to think how we, I brought with a couple, it's not in the area that you're talking with, but I brought with a couple of materials that we developed. Oh, we've probably been using them for at least a year or two now. One of them is, this is over on our public health side, but it is difficult to, and we certainly are aware that a lot of a great deal of the population is not literate in Somali. I mean, so translating is helpful only to a point, because if they can't read it, then what good does it do? But this is an example of something we put together that, you know, we tried to at least incorporate pictures of ACMC and what their logo is, family practice, and this is part of a tool in trying to help. We do a lot of work with brand new refugees that come to the community. Oftentimes we'll spend a fair amount of time with a public health nurse and getting shots. They help them get exams, get connected into get it into medical care, but trying to explain to them sort of how our healthcare system works and where, when you go into a doctor, when urgent care might be appropriate, and when to go to the ER, that kind of thing, because we've been asked by our medical community to try to help with that. So we've done that, and, you know, and like we've got a car and sort of, you know, I mean, trying to do, but it is hard to try to come up with, well, what pictures can really explain some of this stuff, you know. Here, again, we use some of the logos that, you know, trying to actually incorporate, instead of just having the name, you know, Salvation Army actually have the, or, you know, Heartland's sign, what it looks like, so that's why they did that. There's a lot of transportation questions, and so we've got the bus, and, you know, but it's, you know, and we even, because we're out in the community meeting with people, so we put a picture of here, this is what our building looks like, this is where you go, you know, some of, you know, WIC, but it's not the easiest thing to try to figure out how do you portray some of these messages in pictures. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got a lot of things that we've got translated into three languages, but we know that doesn't solve the problem. Mm-hmm. We've got a lot of materials in other languages, but...
Could you pass that around?
Yeah, this is the Spanish. This is a Spanish one, and this is a Somali one. I mean, they're the same thing.
Going back to this test to get on the list, that seems like that's the part of the problem. And that may be something that this group can look at, is to try to get candidates interested in taking the test. Does it take, is it high school education level?
Yep.
I mean, for
high
for
school,
U.S.
high school education.
High school
level.
Education.
Yep. Yep.
They should be able to pass it. So how can we get the word out?
Okay. The reason why, going back to what my friend said, I'm sorry, the name. Abdallah is one of our human rights commissioners. He have done his 2 years degree from Bridgewater College, and then he go to St. Cloud. Mm-hmm. He did another 2 years there. Actually, I've got a bachelor degree. He applied 2 times that job. 2 times. The reason why I'm saying to you, when was the last time? Abdallah is one of my friends, Sean Norris. He has got a bachelor degree, and he's a very active guy.
You have to stay on the merit system list. You have to be current on the merit system list in order for you to be...
Did he take the test?
He applied 2 times. We do have the, these things we have been investigating for a while.
But
we
can did he apply through the merit system?
Here's the,
right. Yeah, he
I
has
think
to
what they're saying is that they probably would not see his application, or he wouldn't be eligible because he's got to be on this merit system list. So we need to learn how to access the list and get on.
Yeah, that's
that
what you
list.
Want to know. That, I don't know much more about
if
that.
If he submitted an application just to the HR department, and
That's what he said. And
right.
I'm sure that guy will pass because of I know him. He's someone who have got a bachelor degree, someone who have been here and did all that things.
Right, but even like myself. if I wanted to work at county services, I would have to go through the merit system.
That's
I
the
could
fact.
Not yeah. send it to HR at the county. Every person has, I mean, no matter what county in the state, you have to go through the merit system mm-hmm. and take the merit test on a Saturday, and then you're in the system if you pass it. You know, I mean, that's the only way to get a county job in the human service field.
Thank you for explaining. I'm not sure all that, I don't know much more about that, but all what I'm concerning about that, the problem of the community mm-hmm. and why these things not be solved and why very easy things not be solved.
I think that's why we're here today, though. It's good, Bashir, that you're here because you can talk to your friend and now let him know that he needs to take this test. And if he, you know, if he passes,
I'm not sure. But what he told me, I tried to investigate, and he said, "Why don't you apply there?" And I saw someone who mm-hmm. said that I applied that 2 times there, and I've not been.
In the HR office, I'm going to look at Lynn. You were there, but when someone applies, do you not tell them that they have to take the test? I mean, they just blindly give you an application and then.
If I was able to catch them, I mean, applications come in via the mail, they come in dropped under the door, people bring them up, whatever. If I was able to catch them, I certainly would have referred them to the merit system.
Is that something that could be on the application somehow?
Well, it's online.
It's very clearly laid out on the county website. There under job opportunities, it says merit system, and it clings you right in. So for example, if that person's applied at the county a couple times, I would love it if I will give you my number and my extension if you would tell them to call me, because I have called many people and tried to work individually with them to try to get them through this process, and to date we have not been too terribly successful. So if I could have more people coming my way, when we see a Somali applicant, we're excited to try to call them and try to get them in and see what, but it's very rare.
It's very rare on the public health side.
I'm trying to remember if I've ever sat in on an interview other than that one that we offered to and weren't able to recruit. So it doesn't happen frequently. I would love to help make it happen more frequently. I mean, any one of you, if you know somebody within the community that would be, I mean, they could call me. I can't make promises about things, but I can absolutely, you know, say, get on your computer, let me guide you through, can you get here, you know, the test is whatever, this is dates, whatever, call me back, let me know how it went. Let me know if you passed. I can let you know if we've got openings.
How do you see this commission helping you to find the people that you need, other than your name and number? Because it's not always like that. I think in general, you know, I've never applied for a job in that system. I wouldn't know that I had to take a merit test. So maybe a community, Somali community fair or something to say these are the kinds of jobs, maybe something in the paper that says we're looking for, you know, this is the process to go through to get a position with us. Mm-hmm. And it would clarify for everyone, you know, just that process. Because I didn't know you had to take a test. Like, you put an application in and then you wait, right? Well, it doesn't always work that way with the government.
Yeah. The advertising for the county was changed several years ago. I can verify that. To direct people to the website when there is a job opening, so that when you go to the website, you look for that opening, you see the merits and system information. The link is right on that website. So the fastest way to gain that information is on that website.
Right, and you know, I can understand that, but I think somebody who's new to the community or to the state, it might not be clear in any language what the process is. So how can we get that information to people who are interested? And
I think there is a way. I think we are in the same boat right now.
Sure, absolutely.
Give me whatever communication that the extension or whatever, then I can give and I can tell them, those who complain, hey, here's the issue, go on here, go ahead and work with them. Right. And then that we.
But there may even be some people that you know from the Somali community that are going to college out at Ridgewater that are interested in the human service
yep.
field.
Yep, yeah.
So they are high school diploma. I mean, they have a diploma or a GED if they're at the college. I mean, that may be good candidates to kind of start walking through that process. You know, that would be a perfect place to start, I guess I would think.
I appreciate, I've learned quite a bit here this evening. It doesn't make sense to have a full-time interpreter there. It doesn't make sense. I understand that now. But I don't know if everybody knows how to access and navigate right. through the system, because I don't. The ones that are illiterate in Somali, that's not working, and I don't know how you bridge that. I see the pictures are helpful. I don't know if that would help with appointments and all that other thing. I can see the problem. But I think the solution, I think, is the correct one, is we need to have people, and I think you articulated very nicely, we have to have people that look like the community there, and then you do have an interpreter there all the time, because that's what they're doing for a job as well. That goes everywhere. I mean, you have issues at the banks, there's issues at the court right. system, those issues exist everywhere.
I was just on the phone the other day with a dental office who was at their wits' end, not sure what to do or whatever, and I was trying to connect them to, you know, different local interpreting companies, the phone interpreting, whatever, because they just didn't know what to do. And so sometimes we get calls like that, and just trying to help them figure out where, you know, they just said, I don't even know where I would begin to start, or where would be a trusted place that I could get interpreting from. And so I talked to them three different times, trying to help a dental office get, you know, some of that figured out.
And Genio actually has liaisons on staff to help with some of these things. Yep. The problem that you get into
it's
personal and private information. Yep. So in terms of our liaisons being available for every issue, it's very difficult for employees to do that. But they certainly are there to help fill out paperwork, or that's their job. They're there not as a translator, but a liaison in order to help navigate some of those things.
That's one. That I think that's a very good idea. So, like Genio, it's a good example of Genio. Like Wells Fargo, they don't have a problem with that issue, and also it's a business place. It's whereby they also get benefits because of Genio. Don't want to pay translators and different. They have got their own employee, and I think they are killing two birds in one stone. When you are. Too bad, it's in one stone.
We're the private sector, and so we can hire that. I'm going to hire a liaison and hire a liaison in the week. And with state mandated programs, it's a very different hiring circle.
What I was saying that you're missing is mental health. You don't have Woodland Centers on there, which is always.
Absolutely.
That's something else I was going to talk to sure about.
This is. The other thing is that, you know, I mean, we certainly, I mean, these are state forms. This is all the list of required documentation that's needed, that's checked off for different things. And of course, there's, you know, here's all this very important. Your rights and all. I mean, it gets glossed over. It's really important information, though. And when you think about if you aren't able to read or write in any language, what a challenge all of this is. But then, you know, then it's questions after questions after questions.
And all those questions, when you have an interpreter on the phone, the person on the phone has to ask. There's somebody I'm trying to clarify the process. So there's someone who speaks English in with the client, and they go to the phone and say, here's question number one, and say, tell them in English, and then it comes back in Somali.
Correct.
Yes. And so, and you give how much time to do that?
Usually between half hour and 45 minutes
as
an intake.
Is that form available to the person who's doing the interpreting? I mean, in their hand?
In person, yes, but not.
I mean on the phone, because that's a big part of the problem, because of all that time. I mean, I work with interpreters with a couple of Somali patients that I see, and you know, we've gotten acquainted, and you know, the, with the, but it's still it's difficult to, you know, finesse exactly how to say something, and it's, if your interpreters on the other end of the phone could have that in front of them, it might save a lot of time. So I don't know if that's a possibility. You know, when you say you can call 20 people at one time, I don't know if they're all in one place or do you contact them at their home, but people that you depend on to do that interpreting, maybe they should have a folder and say, okay, this is the form you got to do, and they can just read it and save that interaction a bit.
Well, that's part of the thing with interpreting is that they can't, if they're reading it, then they're not interpreting any longer. And so then they're, I mean, if they're, how do I say that?
But if you, you know have, I mean? A I mean, then, person then, in English saying yeah. in the phone, here's question number two, and they say it in English, and then the person over there has to repeat back. You either have to say it very quickly, very condensing it to make it all one question, or there's an exchange that takes a few minutes to get through one question just before the client can even make an answer or begin to answer.
These are filled out when we do the intake already. These are completed when we
so
do the intake. So they've either had a help with someone in the community or they've had help from our in-person interpreter.
Let me address that. Was before when I was the public health director for many years across the hall. And I've been the human services director for a little over 4 years now. That was something that I will admit, just being right across the hall, I did not understand. I did not understand, and I would get frustrated. I'm like, really? People need help filling these things out. This is complicated. It's all this, whatever. How? But now that I live in the human services world, our staff, our eligibility staff, because they know all of the eligibility requirements for a program, and from a program integrity standpoint, they can't help people with this part of the process. They do an interview, they follow up, they get verifications, they ask anything that shows questions and that kind of thing. But if they literally are assisting people to fill out all of their applications, that puts them into a potential ethical situation, and it becomes a program integrity issue. Meaning that they could be helping people to be eligible for services that they may not be eligible for. So it's trying to keep the integrity of the program. I mean, so there's certain things that they're not allowed to do. I did not get that when I did not understand that that's the reason why. The one thing that I wanted to show you too is that people are able to, it doesn't solve a lot of the world's problems, but people are able to designate other people to help them, which of course this is private information and all of that, but if they have somebody that, and we have a lot of people that use this part of the form, and so they can designate someone, what do you call them? The
authorized,
like
representative.
Authorized rep. So they're like an authorized representative, and they sign off and say, so there is a fair amount of that going on, wouldn't you say, that people have other people who are helping them so that, and literally you can ask them, they can, that person can help fill out forms, can get your notices and those kinds of things too. So,
and that's in multi-languages? This form?
Or is
this is not. There's a one page, a little bit deep in here, like four pages, that gives, and one line that says, if you need help with this,
right,
contact
yeah.
someone. Mm-hmm. And all of the notices are generated from our systems, also are all in English, but they do have this language block that makes sure that if people, and of course if people can't read Somali or read any of these languages, then they would have.
With technology options today, have you ever considered having a link on there that they could click on, that it would be a recording of that? They could, so it would essentially be Somali, you know, it would be spoken to them in Somali, and it would say exactly what the form says. Or with the brochures you passed around, you know, there could be a link on there with somebody reading that form in Somali, because with technology, you know, a lot of people have smartphones or access to the internet where they could click on a link, and this link could have somebody reading that form to them?
These are state forms, and mm-hmm. so they're not. The MNsure forms you can do online, and there is an Apply MN application.
Okay.
But they all come from the state, so we have no control over those. But
well, I'm wondering, I mean, that's certainly an idea to bring back to the Department of Humans, because they control all the forms, they generate mm-hmm. all the, I mean, and we really, the programs that we're doing eligibility for, it's all state mm-hmm. Programs, so we're basically their local.
Sure. Yeah, I'm with.
But that's a good idea as far as if someone could listen to something and answer.
Yeah.
That would be a way.
Right.
It would be, you know, that would be something that I think would probably need to be taken on at a state level.
Sure.
But I think that's great.
Right, because if this is private information.
I don't know if they've looked at it or not. Yeah. They're having such a time with their computer systems in general.
Right, and if this is private information, you might not be comfortable asking somebody to help interpret this form for me. So if you had a recording, it could say question one, you know, da-da-da. Mm-hmm. And you could pause it and or rewind, you know, or whatever you need so you are able to understand what question one is.
You know, about that same thing, when you're talking about an oral tradition, is it possible even to have, when you get these 20 folks that are waiting, that you could have an announcement that is in Somali that explains that if you do need an interpreter, mm-hmm. that we have the phone service available that would actually be an oral message that could be relayed to the people waiting, perhaps? It's something, I mean, I think we're in a unique position that, mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of places aren't dealing with these issues, but we certainly are, so I guess we're kind of the pioneers.
That makes mm-hmm. good sense. Mm-hmm. You know, you get on an airplane and you're going to France, you hear the directions in English and French and sometimes another language, too. So. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, I don't know, when people say, you know, we want our staff to look like the community, I don't know if that's always possible, but for everyone to kind of address the issues of the community, doesn't matter what we look like, we got to do it. Mm-hmm. And I think if the overhead is a language that's familiar and it's getting the point across, I think then you do look like the community because they're hearing that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And anyways, I think putting it in the right words is the most important thing.
And I guess I'd like to say, I mean, really, particularly to you, Bashir, I mean, if somebody's got a specific, if someone's having a specific concern, I mean, if there's somebody, if there's some way that we can get what that is so that we can work that. Because what I've seen, I think that there's maybe some trends with some things, but also what I've seen is that just as people are each individually different, each situation and what the hurdle might be a little different. And so if we can look at that and try to figure out how we can make something work or what the hurdle is or what the problem is, then we can work on that for that person at that time that they need the help so that we're... because I mean we can absolutely look at some of these system kinds of things, but I also think that I don't want the individual to get lost in that. And so if there's some individual who is not getting something that they need, I mean, we want to know that right then or really soon so we can work on that. And I don't know how to help. I mean, I'm not sure. I mean, it sounds like there's been people who've been expressing their concerns, certainly in the community, which is important to do. But if we're not, but if we could get that concern expressed to us somehow, so that as quickly as we can, because as time goes on, then the information is old, or something already got happened, or something, you know, whatever. So I'm just thinking that the more how can we, in as close to the time of when the concern was, that we find out there's a concern and we can look at it and try to make it better. Or if you hear, gee, it was really bad on whatever, or it sounds like you've got video or something. I mean, I would love to see that, or what that, you know, and or know when it was, so that we can take a look at, well, what was going on that day? What happened? Was intake, you know, full by 8:30 in the morning, and so we didn't have any slots, and for some reason a bunch of people came in, and we can just kind of keep looking at our process to try to get better.
Thank you for that. Actually, you know, you cannot solve problem until you say the name.
Right.
You cannot cure the disease until you figure out.
Mm-hmm.
And to figure out, you have to try it. The reason why we brought these things here,
mm-hmm.
I'm a community organizer, a Somali community organizer. I knock doors, I talk to them, I ask them, what is the main problem? What's your problem? Each individually. So what I heard from them, I never heard anyone complaining from the Rice Hospital or Family Practice or anyone. I never see anyone complaining from Wallace Fargo. I haven't seen someone complaining particularly genuine because of this issue. But what I heard is that so many people, especially those who don't read and write, complaining from family service.
Mm-hmm.
And they are not saying to me, they never said to me, they are bad people or they discriminate us or they do this and this. They talk about the issue. The issue is they don't have someone who understands their problem. That is what I heard from them. And that's why I brought here. So they said, for example, you sent a woman who have never even gone to school that form, and you say, fill that form. She never knows anything. Then she just, how can she fill it? Because if you don't even know this thing. And she went there, and you give her time, a limit time. You say Tuesday, how many hours they want? 2-3 hours? Tuesday, how many hours?
The whole afternoon.
Mm-hmm. I mean how many hours?
One more.
How many hours?
Four, probably 4
it
hours.
It seems. No, I got a copy from the paper that you put there. Because if I do have a copy here.
Yeah. And they're usually there longer because they don't, I mean, because
it's 3 hours.
Run over. Yeah.
You know, so, and then that mom, she needs help from you. And that mom, there's another two mom in front of her. And according to what you say you spend 45 minutes each and every individual, right?
That's
for intake.
For the intake, initially. Not for just the questions.
Just for,
it
okay.
It doesn't necessarily take that
so,
long to answer a question.
There's no doubt in my mind that there is some physically present, needs physically present there. And you call someone, that person you don't know according to... Because of that person that you phone, you don't know what's there. And you ask a question, but that person, you don't have that phone. So she needs someone who's there, and you know it. There's no doubt in my mind that you need someone. But I'm not sure how you feel that gap. Let me come back to what you said. We are not blaming to you for something that's not the community. Community loves you. You help the community. They like you. But the problem is only that understanding.
Mm-hmm.
They need someone there. They need someone who said, "Mahadrabta, Mahadrabta." The mom need. What do you want? That's what they need. And I'm sure it's very easy for you. You can hire someone. You can stop that person that you are paying money, and also giving money someone who is not even in County Ohio, that's outsourcing too. It's a kind of outsourcing. So, I know you can do it, and we can work with you. I can work with you. Hand by hand, I can bring some people. You can interview them. There's some people who did bachelor degree. There's some people who have got some people who qualified. I'm sure they qualified for that issue. So, but the choice is, I know this is a government and state issue. You cannot just jump over the law, but go through the process. That's what I think.
I think that, you know, as I've said before, you know, we as a commission are a conduit from the community to agencies or a conduit to different situations and problems. And so that's what this is about. So, and you are to us. So we know what's going on from your perspective. So I always see it that way. You know, we're kind of bridging problems, you know, a problem with a solution or the beginning conversation. It's always got to start somewhere, and this is a place for it to start.
I mean, even that example you used, Bashir, I can see now that you understand maybe a little more of the interaction, if that mom goes out and doesn't have an appointment scheduled now,
yeah,
and you have other ones that are already scheduled, she could be waiting there for a while. But I would also say if she can't read Somali, that's the part I think where we could find some bridge here. If she would get notification that, oh, there's an interpreting phone available to get a question answered, that would be a lot easier. So I don't necessarily think that you need to have a presence there all of the time necessarily, but when there is a recognized need, if you see people that are sitting in the lobby and they don't seem to know what's going to be coming, that message would be very helpful. How it's delivered, we can make all kinds of suggestions, but
one suggestion I could maybe make is that if someone is working 5 days a week, you know, during the day, a lot of people will come and say, oh, I can't stand in line, and they'll leave their phone number. And then if they need an interpreter, we'll call them with an interpreter and answer their questions that way, so they don't have to wait. They can actually call into our phone bank, leave a message, and we respond within 24 hours. That's our goal, is to respond in 24 hours. So if someone doesn't have the time, you know, I work 5 days a week, and sometimes I can't get to the DMV at the right time. I go online and do my license, but I mean, I think this is a good way that if they have the phone number and to call in, we have the availability of an interpreter to help with whatever questions, if they don't have an appointment or an intake, mm-hmm, that we are required to see them.
Mm-hmm. And it seems like, yeah, that could be part of a message that's relayed, yeah, right, that makes complete sense.
If you can't wait in line,
right,
here's the phone number,
yep,
and the interpreter is available.
I keep thinking of, you know, going to a museum or someplace where you can get the headphones and then you push the language that you want to, mm-hmm, you know, hear, that you need to have, so you know what you're looking at. And I think I kind of see that with this situation. You know, here's some Somali headphones, and then push the questions, you know. If they have a question, they can say, maybe, I don't know how that might work. It gets complicated. They might have to say it. If they hear the question, mm-hmm, how can we help you, they maybe can respond. And,
mm-hmm. Well, I think this meeting has been very helpful. We really appreciate that you both came, and mm-hmm, I think we have some good ideas of where we can go from here. We are reaching the end of the time we have for our meeting. Do we have any final things anybody wants to say quick?
Can I, will you talk to people about this, the testing process, so that we can get a pool of applicants, mm-hmm, for Anne? So that
we can bring a batch of application. Those who have got a bachelor degrees, those who have got a master's, they need.
They gotta get the test.
No, there's no.
They have to go to the test.
That's what we gotta get.
You can wear them on my hand. You can take 7 at a time.
You need a bachelor, or you need, what do you want?
No, high school. They don't even have to have college, but they do have to pass the high school, and then be able to pass this test.
Mm-hmm. During this week, you will see so many people there come to you. Okay. We're glad, actually.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
I appreciate it, Abby. You know, we like a leader who come to us when we call them.
Can I say they do those tests the first Saturday of every month, so the timing
and
has to
here
be right. Mm-hmm. Right in Walmart. Yep.
Good.
Yeah. We're at in Walmart.
Can you give more information if I give
they're
you a guest?
At our building, I think. I think they're in our building.
I think you have to give it to me some information, and then they will talk to you.
There you go.
Have them call me, though, if they could call, because if they stop in, they're just going to be frustrated because I am gone and in meetings a lot of the time. And so if they stop in to ask for me, that will cause them frustration, and I don't want to cause them any more frustration.
No.
Because I'm in my office, very little.
No, they
I'm
have
in
to be,
meetings
they have,
a lot.
They have to be patient.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They have to be patient,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Take your time. They have to wait you. Wow. Don't
call me.
Yeah.
Call me. I'll call.
All right. Very good. Well, thanks again. Thanks for coming. We have our next meeting. It says November 14th, but it's really November 15th. It's a Tuesday, November 15th at 5 o'clock here. We'll be discussing the educational ideas and topics next week or next month, since we weren't able to get to that today. So, very good. All right. Can we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
All right. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So now you're going to add Woodland Center to the list?
Yeah. We've got these are used.
Well, I know.
This isn't the only resource we have. Woodlands is very much. I'm on their board. They're very much on my mind.
We usually get referrals from practice.
There is CMC, right?
We have
we developed it mainly because these people were in the job and the
I think that's exactly what I'm saying.